Good morning, Moors.
Hey, Killer Dilla. Did I hear you say Ice Bane Deer Reduction got some nosy neighbors over there? Well, man, I got them all over my neighborhood. Man, I can't even sit on the porch. Whenever I open my door, I got some neighbors that open their door.
Is Moors in America Part 2. Now, in our previous broadcast, you, if you remember, everything that we have presented to you has pretty much been from our story. And we don't want to be unfair. We want to make sure that we have his story as well as our story. So the question is, what does Europeans have to say about all this? Could you please give us some information concerning who you are, your side of the story, what you are, what you've done on the planet, and but we need to hear it from you. And if you could do that, I think that would give us a clear and analytical understanding of what's available and what you have said from your own lips. That way we're able to take that and compare it to what others have said from our position, and then we can go on from there. I'm going to start with a Caucasian. His name is Michael Bradley. The book he wrote is called The Iceman Inheritance. And in the first chapter, the first paragraph in this book, he states the following. This book is racist. For, among other things, I will attempt to show that racism itself is a predisposition of but one race of mankind, the white race. I believe that I can show that our converging contemporary crises, like racism itself, have their origin in the prehistory of the white race alone. We attribute various threats to our survival, to man's folly, but this is a conscious and self-protecting euphemism. Nuclear war, environmental pollution, resource rape, all are primary threats to our survival, and all are the result of peculiarly caucasoid behavior, caucasoid values, caucasoid psychology. There is no way to avoid the truth. The problem with the world is the white man. If this insight has generally escaped us, it is only because we caucasoids have dictated much of history, written most of it, and judged it in terms of our own self-image. But we have never looked at ourselves in an objective biological mirror. and that is what we shall now proceed to do. Our racial psychology has brought the world to the brink of disaster. Now, this is a Caucasian. His name is Michael Bradley. He wrote that in his book, The Iceman Inheritance. Now, at this point, we always have to understand that in order for us to make a clear understanding of things, we need supporting evidence if there's any other persons that feel the same way, because this man, he could be lying. How do we know? Let us see if there's any other Caucasians that may be able to shed some light on what this man has said. So we go to another book called History of the Modern World by Ara Palmer and Joel Colton. They tell us the following, and keep in mind, these are Europeans, these are Caucasians, and this is what they write in that book. It says, Europeans were by no means the pioneers of human civilization. Half of man's recorded history has passed before anyone in Europe could read or write. The priests of Egypt began to keep written records between 4,000 and 3,000 BC. But more than 2,000 years later, the poems of Homer were still being circulated in the Greek city-states by word of mouth. Shortly after 3,000 BC, while the pharaohs were building the first pyramids, Europeans were creating nothing more distinguished than huge garbage heaps. Ironically, like the pyramids, they still endure and are known to archaeologists as kitchen middens. At the same time, the Babylonian king Hammurabi, about 2,000 BC, caused the laws of a complex society to be carved on stone. The most advanced Europeans were people like the Swiss lake dwellers, simple like agriculturists who lived in shelters built over the water to protect themselves from beasts and men. In a word, until after 2000 BC, Europe was in the Neolithic or New Stone Age. This was, in truth, a great age in man's history, the age in which men learned to make and use sharp tools, weave cloth, build living quarters, domesticate animals, plant seeds, harvest crops, and seize since the returning cycles of the months and years. But the Near East, Egypt, the Euphrates, and the Tigris Valley, the islands of Crete, and the shores of the Aegean Sea, which belongs more to Asia than to Europe, had reached and passed the Neolithic 2,000 years before Europe. When Europeans finally got themselves together and created the semblance of what could be referred to as a state or a nation, they soon made a glaring discovery. Europe could not furnish them with enough food to properly feed them, or enough material to properly clothe them. They began to look with covetous eyes at the more developed parts of the world. Now, there you have it. This was written by two Caucasian gentlemen out of the book History of the Modern World by R.R. Palmer and Joel Colton, which pretty much echoes the sentiment of Michael Bradley in The Iceman Inheritance. I'd like to go from there and tell you about something that we have on DVD disc, and you can see this for yourself. You can get that information by contacting me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A 99 at yahoo.com. The disc that I'm referring to on this disc, there was an experiment that was used against gorillas, and where the European scientists got a natural gorilla, an African gorilla. It was a jet black gorilla, and placed a mirror in front of him. Now, when this gorilla saw the mirror, it was not unusual to him. it was something that he was looking at his own image. It was something that he was familiar with. And now he began to play with the mirror and to kiss the mirror and to rub on it, put his hands up, you know, just normal stuff that any person, being, entity, or animal would do. Well, actually not natural for animals. But anyway, you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. He did not. He done what was natural. But there was an albino gorilla that were born. And the Europeans befriended the creature, and they was quite fond of it because he was very, very unusual. However, they decided to perform the same experiment on this particular gorilla. And what they did was they placed the gorilla in front of this mirror. And when this particular gorilla saw his image, he immediately attacked the mirror and began to destroy it and dismantle it, and he went pretty much berserk. And it was a very, very unusual experiment. I thought I'd point it out because we have that on DVD disc, and you can see it for yourself. However, let us move forward. We have been taught that in schools across the United States of America, the first people that came to this land were the Native Americans, those who've been classified as Indians. And we've already discussed that in previous broadcasts. But what we need to have a clear understanding of is that that is simply not true. We've just got information from two Caucasians that pretty much told you Europeans don't have a history. So if you don't have a history, everything that you are telling us and everything that you're trying to lead us toward believing should be at least bare minimum suspect and should deserve a clear investigation. And if we can do these things, then we can come closer to the truth. And that is not to say, and keep in mind, I want you to understand, this does not have to do with anything racist. I am not a racist. It doesn't have anything to do with prejudice. The only thing I'm doing is delivering the facts. We have to be factual. If we are factual, then we have a base to deal with. Okay? Now, we know that the Moors have always been on this land mass, the Omacs down in South America. We know that the archaeological finds, the information is overwhelming. What is very, very interesting is when they dug up the mounds in Louisiana and they declared that these mounds, the people that built these mounds were the oldest people on earth. But then after continuous digging, an investigation of this continent, they discovered that they pull up bones predating these mounds. And keep in mind, they've already declared that these mounds are older than the pyramids during the dynastic period of Egypt. The United States Supreme Court, as the government of the United States, as well as the United Nations Board, have declared that the people of Louisiana are the oldest people on earth. Okay, predating the dynastic period of Egypt. But now you're coming back and telling us that you have dug up further remains of the bones of people that are classified as Negro, colors, and black that predate this mound by thousands of years. So my question is, once again, if ancient Egypt is a child of Ethiopia, and we know Egypt is 5,000 years, how far back does our black consciousness go? And it seems to me it could very well hinge on the borderline of infamy. So what they did was, after discovering this information, they said, we cannot publish this because this goes beyond everything and goes against everything that we have already previously said. Because bones and artifacts dating back this far should simply not exist. So we can't publish this information. Now, we have a tremendous amount of evidence proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Moors We're in Mexico. The old Mike's migrated there. And they also, their descendants also come all the way up from the South America and into the main interior of what's being classified or called North America. It's no such place. But we find that the descendants spread all over. So what had to happen in order for someone to take this land, there had to be a total denigration of the people. There had to be a total cover-up. There had to be a total destruction of ancient, our historical evidence. And we had to do that. Otherwise, we cannot maintain, we cannot take what does not belong from us as long as there's evidence. So we are constantly, constantly on a day-to-day basis, and it's been going on since 500 years and abroad and beyond. The cover-up is in the, and they are investing money into maintaining the strength of the cover-up in order to continue to control something that doesn't belong to them. Now, one thing I know for a fact, anytime you tell a lie is going to have maintenance in order to maintain a lie. But when you tell the truth, once you tell the truth, that's it. You can feel any way you want to feel about the truth. The truth ain't going nowhere. It's just going to be there. But once you tell a lie, you're going to have to constantly, over and over again, do things from a different angle or whatever you have to do to maintain that lie. So it's very important for us, and this is what I strive to do here on Morris Talk Live 100, is to bring you the facts based on the truth. I need your cooperation. I need you, when I tell you this stuff, I need you to go dig it up and look at it for yourself. Because once you do that, then you're getting stronger and stronger, and you're coming closer and closer to who you are. Because once you understand who you are, then you have a very, very powerful device to work with. You see, a man cannot rule over a man that he can't control. If he cannot control what you think and what you know to be a fact and truth, he cannot control you. You're too strong. What he'll have to do is he'll have to attack you or come to you with some other angle to deal with you. But if he cannot control what you believe, he cannot control you. So once we get the facts, and once our facts is built on truth, then we have a we become a force to be reckoned with. Now, let me go on to the next phase of this, what I'm trying to tell you here, in Moses in America, Part 2. We're going to hear from somebody that I have not mentioned before. But I only mentioned this book and its title, but we're coming directly from a black man. His name is Ivan Van Sertima. And the book that we are coming from is called They Came Before Columbus, The African Presence in Ancient America. Let's go. We are on the 33rd page of this book, and it says at the bottom paragraph, in February 1975, a Smithsonian Institute team reported the find of two Negro male skeletons in a grave in the U.S. Virgin Islands. This grave had been used and abandoned by the Caribs long before coming of Columbus. Soil from the earth layers in which the skeletons were found were dated to A.D. 1250, a study of the teeth showed a type of dental mutilation characteristic of early American culture, and clamped around the wrist of one of the skeletons was a clay vessel of pre-Columbian Indian design. Okay, be careful about the word Indian here. Skeletons have also been found in pre-Columbian layers in the valley of the Pecos River, which flowing through Texas and New Mexico, empties via the Rio Grande into the Gulf of Mexico. Professor Hooten, a physical anthropologist reporting on these finds, said of the skeletons, "The Pecos skull resembles most closely cranial of the Negro groups coming from the parts of Africa where Negroes commonly have some perceptible infusion of Hermetic blood. Finds like these, in addition, to the Stonehenge of Negro clay mask of the same period, like the Negro Salinas mark in the bottom row, place 6, force us to consider afresh the extraordinary parallels between ancient America and Africa in the period dismissed before as mere coincidence. It is not strange that it is in this very period when the Negro African began to appear in Mexico and to affect significantly the Olmec culture, that the first pyramids, mummies, tree pan skulls, stela, and hieroglyphs begin to appear in America." Okay, now, I read that because I want you to get a firm understanding in your mind that you didn't come from anywhere. And that you know, we got... And I'm not denying that the slave situation happened. It was not a trade, there's no kind of dignity, anything that you can put on it, because the people that you're dealing with, you know, there's nothing that can be classified as any kind of intelligence in dealing with a situation like this. But there were people brought here from the landmass. The other landmass of America that's been called Africa today, and they were brought here, but the majority of us were already here. We did not come from somewhere else, and if you were already here and you predate anybody on the landmass, I have to ask you one more time, who does the land belong to? Okay, so if it belongs to you, then it behooves us to come into the knowledge of ourselves, proclaim our nationality based on an established government that was here and that was already in effect before they got here. Once we do that, then we can begin to put the powers that be on notice through documentation. You file your documentation with the proper authorities. When I say authorities, I keep messing up and doing that right there. Because it's very, very difficult for me to understand how you can have authority and you ain't got no history. But anyway, put this stuff on them and put them on notice of the fact of who you are and what you are proclaiming. You ain't concerned about sovereignty. What you are concerned about is your nationality and your identity and your ties and your inheritance that is this landmass. And when we begin to do this in mass, then we are able to go before the United Nations and proclaim ourselves as a nation. You see, the United Nations does not recognize organizations. When you're talking about an organization, you're not talking about anything that the United Nations can recognize. The only thing that the United Nations is forced to recognize is a nation. And even at that, once you get that done, it's still not enough, because what we need to get in the beginning, before this is done, is we need to get a strong foundation in our mind of all the facts involving us, our culture, our story, and we want to make sure that we are armed with his story so there can be no mistake about our claim, our rights, and the real law. And so what I'm doing is here every Sunday morning to make sure that you have what you need in concerning yourself, your identity, his story, and our story. When you do your documents, make sure that they are very, very professionally done, and make sure that every T is crossed, every I is dotted, and make sure that you are very professional in what you're doing. But once you get your documents, you want to be able to understand everything that the documents is saying. So if at any point in time you are questioned about your documents as a Moor on this landmass, you'll be able to rattle it off right off the top of your head because you are armed with knowledge of self, and you are able to short circuit anything and anybody coming with a lie, because you're dealing with truth. And then remember, it doesn't matter what you believe about truth. Truth is just going to be there. The only thing that has to be propped up and maintained and maintenance done on is a lie. We don't want to deal with a lie. We've already been lied to. What we want to do is begin to stand on truth. Proclaim our nationality as a nation. So when it's time to put the papers on the table, there can be no misunderstanding, because all of the facts is laid out. In the meantime, I appreciate you all for listening to this broadcast, and keep in mind that you can contact me at taharaka99@yahoo.com. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A 99@yahoo.com. Don't forget to send for my free report, the 14th Amendment Exposed. Also, we have this information that I'm discussing with you on DVD disc. We have several new discs that have come in, very, very valuable information. So contact me at taharaka99@yahoo.com. The clock on the wall says it's time for me to go. And I appreciate you listening in. And I'm going to have to say to everyone, good morning, boys.
Hey, I'm alone with my lady, but I can always feel her presence. I don't care how far I go away. Now, I got a letter today, and it made me feel so good when I read what the letter had to say. I'm going to take the tension off you, baby, because I'm on my way. Yeah, baby. Honey, I'm on my way. It ain't going to take long. Can you hold yourself together and remember that I'm your girl?
Whenever I open my door, Private man.